Today, the one-year anniversary of the worst natural disaster America has seen in decades.
I wish I had better news for you, but we are facing a storm that most of us have feared.
I really believe it's going to be a bad one. I can feel it. The birds haven't left yet. When they leave, I'm gone too.
Hurricane Katrina is now designated a Category 5 hurricane.
Get out if you can and all. It's not one to be riding in. I shouldn't be here, I guess.
There are some of the sounds of Hurricane Katrina as it made landfall 1 year ago today. The questions continue about whether that city is coming back, can come back, is getting the assistance it needs, and on and on and on. A USA Today Gallup poll done just days ago finds that about half of the people have gone back to their communities and plan to stay. One-fifth have returned but plan or have to move away, and about a quarter, somewhere about 25-28%, have not gone back and say they won't be going back. The president has said that the federal government has contributed $110 million towards the recovery effort, and the president back in that Katrina region today. But that $110 billion hasn't gotten there yet. Only $44 billion of the congressionally approved funds have gotten there. The argument that bureaucrats hampered the city's comeback is a potent one, but it's kind of hard if you're just trying to grasp the numbers for what they mean for that city. Give you an idea, a year later, a third of the garbage and refuse and debris has still not been picked up. Vast stretches of New Orleans and the Gulf Coast. And let's not forget the rest of the Gulf Coast. Places like Biloxi and Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, and others were hit very hard by this and are still largely abandoned. Now, we're going to have some continuing coverage of this story for you today, kind of an in-depth look at where the city stands 1 year later. We'll be joined in a little while by Jed Horn, Metro Editor of the Times-Picayune, the big newspaper in New Orleans, which was able to continue providing information to its city. And he was on with me about a month and a half ago when some of what he went through was compiled into a book called Breach of Faith, Hurricane Katrina, and the Near Death of a Great American City. You'll also hear from an emergency worker from there who gave up after 4 days because he couldn't take the gunfire. And he picked up and brought his family first to Arkansas and then to here in the St. Louis area. You'll also hear audio of a reporter friend of ours from Kansas City who went down to help out at his sister radio station, WWL, in New Orleans and spent night after night on the air taking unbelievable calls. And we will play a little bit of that for you a little bit later on. First, let's go live to New Orleans. CNN's Amanda Moyer is on the scene today. Amanda, welcome to KMOX.
Hello.
Hi. Tell me what the city of New Orleans looks like to you today.
Well, today there's a lot of activity with all of the Katrina remembrances going on. There was a prayer service this morning that President Bush attended, and earlier bells rang throughout New Orleans, marking the moment the levees in the city gave way a year ago. During the ceremonial ringing, many people gathered outside of City Hall to just look back at what happened, to mourn, and it was both residents and people from out of town that came to see what had happened here and what has been done since.
Now, the political eye is on New Orleans today because it is the anniversary. The media eye is on New Orleans today because of the anniversary. But if I had gone there a week ago or a week from now without that spotlight, how would the city look?
Well, depending on where you would go, in the French Quarter, the Garden District, other tourist areas, they're basically fine. But remember, those are the areas that weren't hit with the muddy floodwaters and the gasoline-laced water with chemicals. So if you go into those areas, it looks like New Orleans is back. But if you go into the areas like the Lower Ninth Ward and St. Bernard Parish, it's a totally different story. You've got piles of debris. You've got cars. They're rusted and molded just lying around. You have boats. And people just, it looks like it did a year ago, except the water is gone and the black muck is gone.
Are there still people missing?
Some people are missing, but I think they've kind of stopped you know, worrying about that at this time. You do hear people, though. When you said that, I actually spoke to someone, and she knew someone, one of her closest friends, had two children, and she was wading through the water, and she couldn't hold on to them anymore, and she ended up losing her two children in the water, and they drowned, and she was so distraught that she ended up killing herself in the water that day, and the person I spoke to is one of her closest friends. So it still haunts people, the images and the memories that they have. And she said, you know, we never saw the body of one of the twins. So, I mean, in that regard, there's no closure.
Heartbreaking stories continuing. As you go outside of the tourist areas to the Ninth Ward and other parts of the town that were flooded out, are there services there? Is the electricity on? Is the water clean and flowing?
They have clean water, but services are very spotty. I spoke to some people in the Lakeview area, and they didn't have electricity. But in the Lower Ninth Ward, some of the electricity was back on, but they didn't have stuff like the one woman didn't have a refrigerator. She said she didn't have one until last week. And before that, she was getting a bucket and getting ice at like a mini mart because there's very few grocery stores in that area that are open. And then she put like a pack of meat on top of the ice. And that's how she was eating each day.
So if somebody does go back there, if they did decide to move back in and build their house back up, they wouldn't have a place where they could just go shopping and get the necessities of life.
Correct. At this time, you can't go back there and live normally, as normal as you or I would. I mean, these people are living in these areas or very nearby, and they're suffering. They're living in, some of them, in deplorable conditions. One woman took me through her home just outside the Lower Ninth Ward. She lived in the Lower Ninth Ward when Hurricane Katrina hit, but now she lives just outside of it, and it was a two-bedroom house that she was renting, and four families were staying with her because they had nowhere else to go.
Why don't they try to, you know, when I hear that, they have no place else to go. Really, there's no way for them to get out of the town and find someplace else? So many people were evacuated to Houston and up here to St. Louis and to Memphis and other places. Why are those people still there?
Well, some of them came back right after, I guess maybe about a month or 6 weeks after Katrina hit, and really not expecting to see what they saw. And I think that's part of the problem, because these people don't have any money to go back to wherever they were displaced to. Most people in the Lower Ninth Ward, it's extremely poor area. They don't have cars. They depend on the bus services, which only half of the routes are operating at this time. So, I mean, they just don't have much. And the money they are getting from the government or other sources, they're using it to buy groceries and get through day by day. They're not building up money so they can rebuild, or they can get a home again, or replace the items that they had before Katrina hit.
What has the city's priority been in trying to repair the city and get it back on its feet?
Well, they started with the areas that weren't hit quite as hard, like the French Quarter and the downtown area and the business district, and those areas are back. There is, I mean, it's notably restored. I mean, I was here the 3 weeks after Hurricane Katrina, and there's definite improvement in all these areas. Traffic lights are back on. But when you go into St. Bernard Parish, I drove around there for hours over the weekend, and a lot of the traffic lights aren't even working. So when you talk about recovery, I mean, it's going to take several years before New Orleans is back on its feet completely.
One of the classic disaster stories from the storm was the people who were trapped at the convention center who were not allowed to walk over the bridge to Gretna, Louisiana, in, I guess that's Jefferson Parish. Mm-hmm. And there was a giant divide between those two sides of one community. I mean, you got basically a city and a suburb, and the people from the city were not allowed to go across that bridge into the suburbs. What are the suburbs of New Orleans like today?
So it depends which ones you go to, but some of them are back to normal and operating. But I was in the Lakeview area, and there's no electricity there, and all the homes are pretty wiped out from the outside, just because That's what where one of the breaches happened. So they were the first line when the big wave came over. That's where Lake Pontchartrain is,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the wave washed over the homes. So, I mean, nobody is really living there. I spent maybe 2-3 hours there yesterday just driving all around Lake Pontchartrain, looking at the work that was being done by the Army Corps of Engineers. I did find one person who was in the Lakeview area, and she said that they came back about 3 months ago. Again, no electricity. She's actually sitting outside with her son because it's so hot in New Orleans, and she had her son playing in a cooler, like you take to the beach, full of water, because she said it was so hot in their little FEMA trailer that she was afraid that her son would overheat.
Speaking of her son, if there are kids there, are there schools open for them?
About half of the schools in New Orleans have reopened. You do see some kids, but it's the one interesting thing that I've noticed being back. Very few children, and I think it's because most of the families that had children, they stayed away. I did see children in the lower ninth ward, and I spoke to one woman, and I asked her about school starting, and she said she registered her child for school. School starts here September 7th. And I asked her, if you don't have, like, a grocery store or electricity, what's the school situation like? And she said, well, I really don't know. School officials are going to let her know if her child can go to school September 7th. Apparently, the school there was used as a shelter. And she said, basically, I have to wait and see. And if that school isn't going to be open, he's going to be taken to some other school far away on the other side of the city.
Amanda, I appreciate the report. Thank you very much.
Sure, anytime.
CNN's Amanda Moyer live in New Orleans for us here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.
I tried. I hold her hand tight. I could. And she told me, you can't hold me. She said, take care of the kids and the grandkids.
And he watched his wife float away.
Old people sick, man. You know, we need help up here.
What has happened down here? Is the wind have changed?
It's a desperate situation. The city is taking on water.
Clouds roll in from the north and it starts to rain.
The water is actually seeping in between the bricks.
Rain real hard to rain for a real long time.
I'm looking at what was a street that is now a river.
6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline.
It's bad around here. People trying to even survive.
River rolls all day.
Help us.
The river rolls all night.
Help us, please.
Some people got lost in the flood. Some people got away all right.
Jesse was in my apartment.
River had busted through.
It's devastated Louisiana.
Clear down the plaque of mine.
It's devastated New Orleans.
6 feet of water in the streets of Evangeline.
We need help badly.
Louisiana.
They suffered and they died and didn't have to happen.
Louisiana, that child to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away. Oh, Louisiana, Louisiana, that child to wash us away. That child to wash us away. President Cooley's come down to the railroad train.
So I have to leave my home and my friends.
Little fat man with a notepad in his hand.
My normal life will never be the same.
President said, little fat man, oh, isn't it a shame?
No food, no water.
What the river had done to this poor farmer's land.
People are looting, they're fighting for food.
Oh, Louisiana.
We mourn with those who mourn.
Trying to wash us away.
And we ask for strength.
Trying to wash us away. Louisiana.
There is no way to imagine America,
Louisiana,
without New Orleans.
They're trying to wash us away.
And this great city,
they're trying to wash us away,
will rise again.
They're trying to wash us away. They're trying to wash us away.
I look forward to coming back. I really do.
Sometimes your greatest enemy is Mother Nature. Randy Newman's Louisiana 1927. You heard him doing the end of it and Aaron Neville doing the beginning of it in a montage of some of the people who were caught in the midst of that Category 5 hurricane known as Katrina a name that has now been retired from the rolls of hurricane names forever. Continuing coverage of the anniversary of that storm, next on the Paul Harris Show, here on News Talk 1120 KMOX.